Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, The History and Life of Ajamil. Maharaj Parikshit said, O my Lord, O Shukadev Goswami, you have already described in the 2nd canto the path of liberation, Nivritti Marg. By following that path, one is certainly elevated gradually to the highest planetary system, Brahmalok, from which one is promoted to the spiritual world along with Lord Brahma. Thus one's repetition of birth and death in the material world ceases. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a Vaishnav, when he heard the description at the end of the 5th canto of the different hellish conditions of life, he was very much concerned with how to liberate the conditioned souls from the clutches of Maya and take them back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, he reminded his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami, about the Nivritti Marg, or path of liberation, which he had described in the 2nd canto. Maharaj Parikshit, who at the time of death was fortunate to have met Shukadev Goswami, inquired from Shukadev Goswami about the path of liberation at that crucial time. Shukadev Goswami very much appreciated his question and congratulated him by saying, Variyan eshate prashnaha krito loka hitang ripa atmavit samatak pungsang shotavyadishu yakparaha. My dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial for all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Parikshit Maharaj was astonished that the living entities in the conditional stage do not accept the path of liberation, devotional service, instead of suffering in so many hellish conditions. This is the symptom of a Vaishnav, bancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha. A Vaishnav is an ocean of mercy, paradhuka dhuki. He is unhappy because of the unhappiness of others. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj, being compassionate toward the conditioned souls suffering in hellish life, suggested that Shukadev Goswami continue describing the path of liberation, which he had explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. The word asamsruti is very important in this connection. Samsruti refers to continuing on the path of birth and death. Asamsruti, on the contrary, refers to Nivritti Marg, or the path of liberation, by which one's birth and death cease and one gradually progresses to Brahmaloka, unless one is a pure devotee who does not care about going to the higher planetary systems, in which case one immediately returns home back to Godhead by executing devotional service. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, was very eager to hear from Shukadev Goswami about the path of liberation for the conditioned soul. According to the opinion of the Acharyas, the word krama yoga palabdhena indicates that by first performing karma yoga and then jnana yoga and finally coming to the platform of bhakti yoga, one can be liberated. Bhakti yoga, however, is so powerful that it does not depend on karma yoga or jnana yoga. Bhakti yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in karma yoga or an illiterate with no assets in jnana yoga can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to bhakti yoga. Mam evaishyasya samshayaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8:7 that by the process of bhakti yoga, one undoubtedly goes back home, back to Godhead, to the spiritual world. Yogis, however, instead of going directly to the spiritual world, sometimes want to see other planetary systems, and therefore they ascend to the planetary system where Lord Brahma lives, as indicated here by the word Brahmana, At the time of dissolution, Lord Brahma, along with all the inhabitants of Brahma Loka, goes directly to the spiritual world. This is confirmed in the Vedas as follows. Brahmana sahate sarve, samprapte patisanchare, parasyante kritatmana, parishanti parampadam. Because of their exalted position, those who are on Brahma Loka, at the time of dissolution, go directly back home, back to Godhead, along with Lord Brahma. Text 2. O great sage Shukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to suffer or enjoy, and according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the third canto. You have also described, at the end of the fifth canto, the varieties of hellish life that result from impious activities. And you have described in the fourth canto the first Manvantar, which was presided over by Swayambhuva Manu, the son of Lord Brahma. My dear Lord, you have described the dynasties and characteristics of King Priyavrata and King Uttanapad. The Supreme Personality of God had created this material world with various universes, planetary systems, planets and stars, with varied lands, seas, oceans, mountains, rivers, gardens, and trees, all with different characteristics. These are divided among this planet Earth, the luminaries in the sky, and the lower planetary systems. You have very clearly described these planets and the living entities who live on them. O greatly fortunate and opulent Shukadeva Goswami, now kindly tell me how human beings may be saved from having to enter hellish conditions in which they suffer terrible pains. Shukadeva Goswami replied, My dear King, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in his life, with his mind, words, and body, again, my dear King, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Samhita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish life and the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you. Therefore, before one's next death comes, as long as one's body is strong enough, one should quickly adopt the process of atonement according to the Shastra. Otherwise, one's time will be lost, and the reactions of his sins will increase. As an expert physician diagnoses and treats a disease according to its gravity, one should undergo atonement according to the severity of one's sins. Maharaj Parikshit said, One may know that sinful activity is injurious for him because he actually sees that a criminal is punished by the government and rebuked by people in general, and because he hears from scriptures and learned scholars that one is thrown into hellish conditions in the next life for committing sinful acts. Nevertheless, in spite of such knowledge, one is forced to commit sins again and again, even after performing acts of atonement. Therefore, what is the value of such atonement? Someone who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again and again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant. For an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Shukadeva Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Shukadeva Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now Parikshit Maharaj is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Shukadeva Goswami. Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vedavyas, answered, My dear king, since acts meant to neutralize impious actions are also fruitive, they will not release one from the tendency to act fruitively. Persons who subject themselves to the rules and regulations of atonement are not at all intelligent. Indeed, they are in the mode of darkness. Unless one is freed from the mode of ignorance, trying to counteract one action through another is useless, because this will not uproot one's desires. Thus, even though one may superficially seem pious, he will undoubtedly be prone to act impiously. Therefore, real atonement is enlightenment in perfect knowledge, Vedanta, by which one understands the Supreme Absolute Truth. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Guru, Shukadeva Goswami, has examined Parikshit Maharaj, and it appears that the king has passed one phase of the examination by rejecting the process of atonement because it involves fruitive activities. Now Shukadeva Goswami is suggesting the platform of speculative knowledge. Progressing from karmakanda to jnanakanda, he is proposing prayaschitam vimarshanam. Real atonement is full knowledge. Vimarshana refers to the cultivation of speculative knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, karmis who are lacking in knowledge are compared to asses. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:15, Namam duskritinu mudaha, prapadyante naradamaha, mayaya prittigyana asurang bhavamashritaha. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Thus, karmis who engage in sinful acts and who do not know the true objective of life are called mudhas, asses. Vimarshana, however, is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, where Krishna says, Vedaischa sarvera aham eva vedyaha. The purpose of Vedic study is to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one studies Vedanta but merely advances somewhat in speculative knowledge, and does not understand the Supreme Lord, one remains the same mudha. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, one attains real knowledge when he understands Krishna and surrenders unto him. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. To become learned and free from material contamination, therefore, one should try to understand Krishna. For thus one is immediately liberated from all pious and impious activities and their reactions. Shukadeva Goswami continues, My dear King, if a diseased person eats the pure, uncontaminated food prescribed by a physician, he is gradually cured and the infection of disease can no longer touch him. Similarly, if one follows the regulative principles of knowledge, he gradually progresses toward liberation from material contamination. Purport. One is gradually purified if one cultivates knowledge even through mental speculation and strictly follows the regulative principles enjoined in the Shastras and explained in the next verse. Therefore, the platform of jnana, speculative knowledge, is better than the platform of karma, fruit of action. There is every chance of falling from the platform of karma to hellish conditions. But on the platform of jnana, one is saved from hellish life, although one is still not completely free from infection. The difficulty is that on the platform of jnana, one thinks that he has been liberated and has become Narayan, or Bhagavan. This is another phase of ignorance. Yene ravindaksha vimuktamaninas toyasta bhavada vashudha buddhaya. Aruya krichchena parampadam tata patantyato nadrita yushmadangrayaha. Because of ignorance, one speculatively thinks himself liberated from material contamination, although actually he is not. Therefore, even if one rises to Brahma Gyan, understanding of Brahman, one nevertheless falls down because of not taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Nonetheless, jnanis at least know what is sinful and what is pious, and they very cautiously act according to the injunctions of the Shastras. To concentrate the mind, one must observe a life of celibacy and not fall down. One must undergo the austerity of voluntarily giving up sense enjoyment. One must then control the mind and senses, give charity, be truthful, clean, and nonviolent, follow the regulative principles, and regularly chant the holy name of the Lord. Thus a sober and faithful person who knows the religious principles is temporarily purified of all sins performed with his body, words, and mind. These sins are like the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree, which may be burned by fire, although their roots remain to grow at the first opportunity. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Madatam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Dodati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is the famous verse. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayanaha Agham Dunvandi Karsnena Nihara Iva Bhaskara. And the word meanings for this verse, it's text number 15 of this first chapter of the sixth canto. Kechit, some people. Actually, I'll say it, then please repeat. Kechit, some people. Kevalaya Bhaktya. By executing devotional service. Vasudeva. To Lord Krishna, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purayanaha. Completely attached, only to such service, without dependence on austerity, penance, cultivation of knowledge, or pious activities. Agham, all kinds of sinful reactions. Dunvanti, destroy. Kartsnyaya, kartsnyena, completely, with no possibility that sinful desires will revive. Niharam, fog. Iva, like. Paskaraha, the sun. Translation again. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Lord Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. You want to hear the purport? Okay. It's a really nice purport. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire. Although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, Because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will return. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, Shreya Shatim Bhakti Murasite Vibho Klishantiye Kevala Bodha Labdaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti parishanu bhavo virakti ranyatra cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. This is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. The process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, concerning Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda could not satisfy him. Why was he not satisfied with the answers of his guru? Because what? Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Shukadeva Goswami, concerning Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda could not satisfy him.
I mean, this is what I read in Nectar of Instruction in Bhakti Shastri, first homework, that we should always talk about devotional services to Krishna other than, I mean, not about the Karma Kanda or about the Jnana, because Karma Kanda is basically related to materialistic world.
Correct. So he was a great devotee, and he understood that instinctively when he heard the solution was from the Karma Marg or from the Jnana Marg, that wasn't an actual solution. So he re-questioned his spiritual master, asking him, what's the real solution? So now he's giving in this verse, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayanaha. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word Kechit, which is used in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious. As Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically, no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. May I repeat that? Practically, no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Gauranga Kishore will recite the verse. Give him the microphone.
Anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavitam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti Bhakti Uttama.
Thank you. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains this, that bhakti is kleshagni shubhada, which means if one takes to devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha laghutakrit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories, pataka, mahapataka, and atipataka, and also into two divisions, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha refers to sinful reactions from which one is suffering at the present, and aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. When the seeds, bija, of sinful reactions have not yet fructified, the reactions are called aprarabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace out when they were first planted. Because of prarabdha, sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha, and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.19, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Yathagni susamritarchi karotye dhamsi pasmasad tatadmad vishaya bhaktir utavamsi kritashnashaha. My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relationship with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6 in a verse spoken during Lord Kapila Dev's instructions to his mother, Devahuti. What is this verse going to describe? Yeah, so we want to know that if we're going to take directly to bhakti, which the claim so far is that if we take to karma marg or gyan marg, we won't achieve the complete result. The sinful desire within the heart won't be destroyed. That will still be left over. So just like sometimes in a field, you see that it burns down and you think, oh, it's finished. Then when the rain comes, again, you see green and it comes back up again. So like that, the sinful desire seeds within the heart, prarabdha, aprarabdha, remain when one performs karma, jnana, although temporarily one may seem to be purified, but they grow back. But in bhakti, the very root, the very seed, is destroyed. And that's ignorance. And one's revived to one's original relationship with Krishna. So this verse is evidence from the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6. From where in the Srimad Bhagavatam? So if someone wakes you up in the middle of the night tonight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and says, where is there evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam? You'll say 3.33.6. And if you ever go to a big football game, you can bring a big sign that says 3.33.6 and hold it up down by the end zone. 3.33.6. Devahuti said. Who's Devahuti? That's correct. Lord Kapila's mother. Yanama deha shravanad ukirtanad yat pravanad yat smaranad api kuchit. Shadho pisadya savanaya kalpate kutak punaste bhagavanu darshanat. My dear Lord, even if a person born in a family of dog eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you, and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a brahmana. and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all the reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately. Some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. One, santata, devotional service that continues incessantly with faith and love. And two, kadachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly, but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service, santata, may also be divided into two categories. One, service performed with slight attachment, and two, spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service, kadachitki, may be divided into three categories. One, ragabhasamayi, devotional service in which one is almost attached. Two, ragabhasa shunya swarup bhuta, devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And three, abhasa rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. So what was being described were two divisions of devotional service, right? One was full-on devotional service, where one is completely detached, and the other is occasional. And there are different divisions in both of those, right? As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta, atonement, are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love, and above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. Even in the stage of abhasa rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word kartsnyena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by abhasa rupa bhakti. The example of Bhaskar, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhas feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished. What do you think? Any reflection?
It is primarily Sukadev Goswami stressing out that slight glimpse of devotional service, you know, the high grade of atonement you can bypass. And if you see the example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was, I believe it is Ramananda Khan, or he had committed some sins. And he went to one Brahmin in Mayapur, that what kind of atonement I will do. And he said that he drink one liquid hot gold. And then he went to another Brahmin. He said that you can drink 1 gallon of liquid ghee, then only you will be, your atonement, you know, can be counteracted. Then he went to another, he said that you drink 1 liter of lead, then only you'll be atonement. Then finally he went to, it is because impractical, because he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he similarly put the same question. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that he can chant Hare Krishna, go to Vrindavan, and then all atonement will be fulfilled. In Bhagavad Gita also it says, Salpapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. By just performing little devotional service, you can be also saved from greatest danger. That was it.
Very nice. Subuddhi Roy, right? Subuddhi Roy.
Subuddhi Roy, okay. Yeah. Good, thank you.
What else? Yes.
From what we understand from the readings is that devotional service is like a blazing fire, it says, that burns away the seeds, the roots of desires. And one therefore wonders what is really behind this blazing fire, because there were other analogies that were given which said that in the material world, even if there is a fire that goes over a field, still the things that were there sprout again. So that type of a fire that is happening in the material world, fire alone is not destroying. There is some specialty about the blazing fire, which would say that there must be the role of the Supreme Lord in seeing to it that the roots of desires are removed. It is not an ordinary fire. From the two analogies that are there, that in the material world just a fire goes over the field, but still the plants sprout up. But devotional services are like a blazing fire where they do not sprout up again, would say that there must be some divine role or divine intervention, or Krishna must help to uproot those desires that are there in one's heart.
Very nice. That brings us to a new point of research. So what is it that's different? In other words, Rakshit Prabhu has said that there is a way that Krishna is involved. There must be something different. And how is it that those sinful desire seeds are uprooted from within the heart by the process of devotional service? Who can give evidence from Shastra that this takes place? How about starting with, yes, Vipulji has it.
From the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. So he started performing devotional service with a material desire. But when he saw the Lord, he said that, the form of the Lord attracted him so much that the direct experience of the Lord, that his all sinful reaction, his desires, material desires, that whatever he had, he thought that those are just pieces of glass, and what he got, the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, the direct experience of the Supreme Lord, that is much higher than the material desires. So then he immediately gave up those material desires and he said, I don't want them.
So, and how could you correlate that to a verse in the Bhagavad Gita? Or what verse in the Bhagavad Gita would you use to substantiate what he experienced? What is the principle?
Oh, the principle?
Yeah.
Just
in a sutra, what is the principle?
934?
No, I'm asking to say, express it. What is the principle of how Dhruva Maharaj, he had material desires, intense material desires. He wanted a greater kingdom than his father. He wanted something from God, right? But when he saw him, he had something better. So what is the principle of how he gave up the other thing?
Oh, param drishtva nivartante, by a higher taste.
Exactly. And so where's the verse? Which verse is it? Number. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasadehina rasavarjam rasopyasva param drishva nivartate. Second chapter. So this principle, this is part of the principle that one has a higher taste. And as Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he gave up everything else. He said, I was searching for broken bits of glass, but now I've found the greatest jewel. So we're always looking for our highest prospect. And as soon as the soul, who's a seeker of happiness, pleasure, finds something that's more pleasurable, then he easily drops whatever the lower pleasure is. And this constitutes real renunciation in the platform of safety.